I was working with a guy the other day, really interesting conversation, a friend of mine, and he was working through some different issues, and I have this conversation with a lot of different people. They're looking for God, they're looking for the prophet, they're looking for Jesus or the second coming, they're looking for Lao Tzu, they're looking for Arjuna, they're looking for Nanak, Guru Nanak. And I just say to them, how hard are you looking? And they said, well, I'm really looking, but I'm not finding it. And I said, well, how hard are you looking? How much do you want it? And they'll say, well, I really want it. I'm dedicating my life to finding God, or to finding potential, or logos, if that's a better word. And I said to this one friend of mine, I said, who do you think you wake up with in the morning? He says, I wake up with my wife. I said, you don't wake up with your wife. You wake up with the prophet. And my friend was Muslim. I said, you wake up with the prophet every day. If it was a Hindu, I'd say, you wake up with Arjuna every day. You wake up with Krishna every day. When you sit at work, who do you think is sitting opposite you at work? Guru Nanak is sitting opposite you at work. Who do you think that is sitting next to you on the tube in London? Who do you think is sitting next to you? The Christos is sitting next to you. People are looking for God all the time, but they don't realise if you want to find God, just fucking look in the mirror. You're looking at him. Maybe not God in the absolute, but definitely God in the microcosm. We are a part of God. And when we surrender to God, we become God, or we are part of logos, or purpose, or love. Love is a good word. It's there every single day. So I said to my friend, if you had the prophet staying in your house, if you had the holy prophet staying in your house for 2 weeks, how well would you look after the prophet? He said, I'd be falling over myself to make sure that his stay was welcome. So I said, so why aren't you making your wife feel that comfortable? Why aren't you looking after your wife that way? Why aren't you looking after your children that way? Why aren't you looking after your parents like that? When you're walking down the street and there's a guy sticking his hand out asking for coins, who the fuck do you think that is? It's the prophet asking you for coins. It's the Christos asking you for coins. It's Nanak asking you for coins. It's the Guru Granth Sahib asking you for coins. Lao Tzu is dressed up as a down and out asking you for coins. You think that we talk about God being omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, and we say that's true, and then we presume that he can't be in the down and out because the down and out should get a fucking job. We presume that he can't be in the girl we woke up with in the morning, and so we don't treat her accordingly. We presume that the guy that gets on our nerves at work is just a guy that gets on our nerves at work, but he's not. It's Lao Tzu, it's the writer of the Tao Te Ching, is sat right opposite us. Everywhere we look, we will see the prophet. Everywhere we look, we will see Jesus. Everywhere we look, we will see Lao Tzu. Everywhere we look, we will see Arjuna, Prince Arjuna, Yudhisthira. Krishna is on our chariot. Wherever we go, he's there. So I like the idea of thinking and looking around me. And this happened to me the other day. I'll tell you a story. I'm quite embarrassed about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I think I should. I'm sat in a cafe. I've just finished my sovereignty course, and I'm a bit spent. And normally I'm really good with this, but today I was spent. And today I wasn't awake. I fell into a temporary sleep. And as I sat in my nice Italian cafe shop, enjoying my nice Italian cafe, okay. I sat in my coffee shop enjoying my cafe, or sat in my cafe shop enjoying my coffee, whichever one it is, I don't know. I'm sat there enjoying my coffee, and I notice a down and out with dirty fingernails, and it, you know, flesh peeping through his boots, walking down from table to table, taking out cigarette butts that other people have left, and he's singing. And I look at him and I thought, he's going to look at me and he's going to ask for money, and I'm tired. I don't want this exchange. And this was an unconscious feeling. And I'm embarrassed about it because I missed the opportunity to interact with the Christos in that moment. I missed an opportunity and I was so sorry. As he walked down, he looked, as he walked down, I thought he was going to look at me any minute, and he was just singing along, this guy. And that's one of the signs. I should have seen that. I should have seen that God was in him. And as he was walking down, I turned my head away and thought, he won't look at me. I don't want an interchange. I'm tired. And as he started to wander away, I thought, oh good, he hasn't seen me. He hasn't caught my eye. This young girl who was sat across the table, maybe she was 16, very beautiful. She said, oi, cigarette guy. And he turned round this down there and looked at her, and she said, come over here and have one of my cigarettes. There's a group of younger people, this girl and these are the couple of girls and a lad, and he walked over and they rolled him a cigarette and handed him the cigarette, and he said to them, God bless you, and he wandered off. And I felt ashamed because I just thought, I had an opportunity there to interact with Jesus. He came to me disguised as a down and out. The prophet was at the table next to me. Krishna was asking just for eye contact. That's all he wanted. And if he had got eye contact, maybe I'd have given him a quid to interact with the Christos. It's mad. And I felt it in that moment. I felt this instant shame and then this instant kind of, God, what an opportunity. What an amazing opportunity. What a fantastic opportunity. And these kids were my teacher this day. So as I was leaving, I said to this young kid, I said, I really liked what you did with that lad. What you did with that lad was great character. It's character that I didn't have today. And she was a bit embarrassed, a bit sheepish, but she seemed to appreciate what I'd said. Because what she did was really beautiful. It was really wonderful. Because she recognised what I should recognise. That was my brother going from table to table. That was my sister going from table to table. That was my father going from table to table. And I'm talking literally. I'm not just saying this as a theological statement. I'm saying I felt presence. And that's how it often comes to us. One of the great things it says in the New Testament is the way you treat the least of you is the way you treat me. This is what Christ says. The way you treat the least of you is the way you treat me. What he's actually saying is the way you treat the least of you is the way you treat yourself. Because when we believe in separation, when I believe I'm a guy sat in a cafe having a coffee with my expensive man bag and my nice shoes, and down and out comes, the moment I presume there's a separation between us, I'm wrong. I've lost an opportunity to connect. We've talked before on the podcast about pure function. About connecting to pure function through a focus pad or through martial arts. And this was my opportunity to create pure function with a guy that had flesh peeping through his shoes and dirty fingernails, and he was picking up dog ends from the ashtrays and singing. That was my opportunity to exchange pure energy, intercourse, pure energy. So the next time that happened, and it happened again, it happens quite a lot at this cafe, but the next time that happened, I made a point of not missing the opportunity. And the guy came over to me and was sat with, who was I sat with? I sat with a couple of people anyway. I sat with my friend Warner. And it was funny because he came over, this guy, another guy, tall, bent like a question mark, down and out, dirty fingernails, snot coming from his nose. And I saw God. And he said, you got any money? I said, yes, I have. And I gave him some. It wasn't much. It was just the exchange. And he said to my friend, have you got anything? And Warner said, yes, I have. So we gave him some. And then he said, have you got any more? And I said, no, I've got no more. And he said to Warner, have you got any more? And he says, yeah, I've got some more. So he took some more. And he said, have you got any more? And he goes, yeah, I've got some more. So give him a bit more. And then he says, have you got any more? And then Warner goes, no, I've not got any more. And he started laughing and wandered off. That was our exchange. You don't even have to exchange money if you don't want to. It's just the opportunity every single day. People talk about the fact that they want to connect to God. They want to connect to potential. They want to immerse themselves into essence. But the opportunity is there every single day. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat her? How are you with your children? I'm asking myself the same question. I'm actually looking at myself in the screen as I'm asking. How do you treat them? How do you treat the least of you? Jesus is a factory labourer. My friend used to run a builder's yard, and he treated his labourers terribly. And he said, I've got to treat them terribly, Jeff. They'll take advantage of me. The way you treat the least is the way you treat God. The way you treat the least is the way you treat yourself. So there's opportunity every single day to wake up with the prophet. Every single day there's an opportunity to liaise with the Christos. Every single day there's an opportunity to have tea with Krishna. Every single day. Don't think he doesn't come in disguise. He comes all the time and you'll feel it. I've had two experiences where I actually saw presence or God or whatever you want to call it through down and out. So I see it a lot through them. Once when Sharon had finished running the marathon and we were in London walking through, and I seen this guy, this down and out, walking across the street with no shoes on, and I felt this instant compulsion, this instant overwhelming love for this guy, and I wanted to fucking take my shoes off and give them to my, took my shoes off and ran over to him, and it was like he was in the room. It was there, it was right there. I felt it. And Sharon says, what are you doing? But I knew what I was doing. Then another time I'm in Leicester Square, because he did look odd taking my shoes off in the middle of London. Then another time I was in Leicester Square and I saw Christ. I saw the prophet rummaging round the bins looking for food. And I fucking felt it here. I felt it. It wasn't a down and out. I felt it. I went over. I said to him, are you hungry? And he says, he didn't even speak. It was just silence. He just nodded. And I gave him half of my pizza. Not because I'm a great bloke, but because I felt the compulsion to do it. And I went back and I sat down, and Sharon looked at me and she said, it's never going to get bigger than that. It's never going to get bigger than that. You can put your charity coat on twice a year, and you can do all your public stuff on television, and we can start foundations that are worth billions, but if they're not connected to love, they mean nothing. It's just clanging cymbals. This pure exchange where you feel that connection, you feel that love, that's about as big as it's ever going to get. There are opportunities to make that connection every single day. I think I've said the story before about the guy coming through a toll road in America at Christmas on his way home from work, and in behind the window in the toll office he sees the girl collecting the money and she looks sad. So impulsively he just gives her a $20 tip for the holiday season, and she bursts into spontaneous tears, and he's so moved by this connection that he said, I just wanted to do that for the rest of my life. He said I felt such joy from such a small gift, but the thing is, the gift came from a place of love. He felt compassion for this girl and he wanted to give her something, and it was just a little exchange of energy, but it came from love. And as Krishna says, if we deliver from love, it's enough to feed the whole universe, even if it's just a handful of rice. So this guy said, from then on in, I just thought, I want to experience that again and again. So he spent his whole life looking for opportunities to exchange level at energy at the level of pure bliss. He wanted to find pure function in every interaction. He became a very successful businessman. And then every year at Christmas, he would dress up as Santa Claus and go out into the streets and hand out money, dollars in different denominations, $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills, to whoever he came across. And he did it anonymously. It came out after he died. They called him the Secret Santa. But he said that one interaction with this girl behind the toll booth showed him the power of perfect exchange. We should look for that with everything we do. Every single thing we do, we should look for the power of perfect exchange. Not contrived, not interrupted, not agendered, just a pure exchange. And these exchanges, the opportunity comes intuitively every single day of our life. People are writing to us, people are emailing us, people are connecting with us in the street, people are on the internet. As I've said in one of my other podcasts, it's just about working from love. And if it's not working from love, you're in the wrong place. You're working with dishonesty, because if it's not love, it's not real. It's illusory. So there's the opportunity every single day, every single day, to interact with your deity, because you wake up with the prophet, you wake up with the Christ, you wake up with Krishna, you wake up with Guru Nanak every single day. These people are guests in your house. Are you treating them that way?